air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Department of Foreign Affairs has confirmed that it's providing consular assistance to the family of a man believed to be from Donegal, killed in an accident in California. Natalie McLaughlin has been described as a loving, thoughtful and caring person, and her six-year-old daughter Ella the light of her family's lives as they've been laid to rest today. Just 12% of people diagnosed with cancer were treated within the 15-working-day target at Letterkenny University Hospital. And priests in the Diocese of Raphoe are carrying a heavier burden of responsibility because of the declining number of clergy, according to the diocesan administrator, Father Kevin Gillespie. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First news, the Department of Foreign Affairs has confirmed that it's providing consular assistance to the family of a man believed to be from Donegal, killed in an accident in California. A spokesperson says the department does not comment on the details of individual cases. No further details are known at this time. Natalie McLaughlin has been described as a loving, thoughtful and caring person, and her six-year-old daughter Ella the light of her family's lives. Both mother and daughter died following a crash in Carndonagh on Wednesday. They were laid to rest today following funeral mass at the Sacred Heart Church in Carndonagh. Natalie's partner Tyrone and 18-month-old daughter Rhea Rose were also injured in the collision. Two family members paid tribute to Natalie and Ella during the funeral mass.
Our Natalie. Was the best big sister, mum, friend, niece, cousin and daughter. She put everyone before herself, maybe sometimes a little bit too much, but it was obvious how much of a caring person she really was. When you asked Nat for help, you already knew the answer. Yes, she was just that loving and thoughtful. When Nat asked, "How are you?" you could see how much she genuinely cared for your answer. As a mother, she took care of two beautiful children, who were always reminded that they were the most loved in the world. Natalie would always make you feel loved for even small things like telling you off for not doing the right thing for yourself, and always making time, even if she doesn't have it, to check up with you and see what she can support you with.
Although 6 years doesn't sound like a very long time, it is very hard to remember a life before Ella. She's the light of our lives, the centre of our entire world. For a girl so young, there is absolutely no doubt she was entirely sure of who she was. So outgoing and so intelligent. She lived such a full life in a very short 6 years. Her most recent holiday to Portugal just 2 weeks ago, she learned how to swim, play chess and do magic tricks. Our perfect, crazy girl, with her cheeky little face and sassy attitude, it was easy for Ella to leave a lasting impression on everyone that she met. For the last 6 years, we have been kept completely entertained and happily on our toes. Ella possesses the biggest, craziest personality and the sweetest soul.
Meanwhile, parish priest Father Colm McLaughlin says the pain of the tragedy will be felt right across the county.
The pain is felt not only in Carndonagh, but also throughout Inishowen and further afield, because it revives painful memories of all too many similar tragedies that have taken place throughout this region. For me personally, the scene revived memories of when I ministered in Buncrana, when during my time there, there was a series of multiple fatalities in car accidents. How much more will this tragedy revive similar memories in so many people? I spoke to Natalie's parents, and just one comment was forthcoming. Natalie's mother said, "Well, at least the only consolation I have is now that they are together. Two young lives taken, no one has the answer."
Priests in the Diocese of Raphoe are carrying a heavier burden of responsibility because of the declining number of clergy. That's one of the messages from Diocesan Administrator Father Kevin Gillespie, who asked for patience and understanding from parishioners as he announced clerical changes today. Four priests, Father Francis McLoone, Father Eddie Gallagher, Father Charlie Byrne and Father Martin Cullum are retiring. Donal Kavanagh has more.
On the weekend of August 17th and 18th, Father James Sweeney will become parish priest in Killymard. He'll be replaced in Frosses by Father Liam Boyle. Father Paddy Dunn becomes parish priest in Carrigart. He'll be replaced in Ballyshannon by Father Rory Brady. Father Philip Kemmy, parish priest in Newton Cunningham, will also now serve as parish priest in St Johnson. Father Colm O'Gallagher, the parish priest in Killybegs, will now also serve as administrator in Brooklis. Father Stephen Gorman becomes parish priest in Rathmullen, while Father Anthony Briody becomes administrator in Tamney. Father Damien Najad will be curate in Newton Cunningham and St Johnson, while Father Raymond Macquarie will serve as curate in Milford. Father Joseph Nuraba will be the curate in Brooklis, while Father Sunil Joseph will be curate in Ballyshannon and chaplain to the Silo Marabar community in the diocese. The parish of Glenswilly will be administered from St Eunan's Cathedral.
Just 12% of people diagnosed with cancer were treated within the 15 working day target at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's the poorest performing hospital in the country, according to the Journal. Hospitals should treat patients within 15 working days, and the HSE has a monthly target to treat 90% within this time frame. Maria Delaney, editor with the Journal Investigates, told today's 9 till noon show that there are some improvements to cancer wait times at Letterkenny University Hospital.
This is actually my local hospital. I don't have a Donegal accent, but I live up in Donegal, and it was the lowest performer during that time, and it never met the 90% target. So I found this very shocking. Thankfully, it is improving. But if you look at the figures, just 12% of cancer patients were treated within the 15 working days target that I was talking about. Now, this was significantly lower than the next lowest, which was 52%, and really, really significantly below the national average, which was 85%. So there was some kind of significant improvements done on that kind of since November 2024. Obviously, this was highlighted as an outlier, and they worked on kind of how can we maximise the chair space. So this is where people actually need chairs to sit in to undertake these treatments. And when they did that, it did improve. And now the latest figure was 82% from April 2024. It's still not at the 90%, but is thankfully improving. But it just shows the kind of postcode lottery that people face, and also how awful in the last number of years it was for cancer patients in the Northwest that they did have to wait such a long time.
Experts have begun collecting DNA to determine the identities of the babies buried at the former mother and baby home in Tuam. A full excavation of the County Galway site will begin next Monday, with a team of international experts being brought in to help. Around 80 people have come forward to say they'll give their DNA so far. Daniel McSweeney, who leads the ODAD, says they're confident in their ability to carry out the excavation to the best standard.
What that brings in terms of identification really depends on whether or not DNA can be recovered from the remains and how many family members come forward to give DNA. So I think our confidence relates to our process, and then the results will be what they are. Any unidentified remains will be reburied in a way that will be decided by families after a consultative process with us.
Meanwhile, survivors of mother and baby homes and Magdalen laundries in the north have been gathering at Stormont to protest a proposed redress bill. The bill will provide payments to eligible survivors and families of those who died, but only since September 2011. Hannah Patterson reports.
More than 14,000 women and girls are thought to have passed through the institutions. Many were found to have been mistreated and forced to give up their children. Adele Johnson was sent to Marionvale Mother and Baby Home in Newry when she became pregnant at 17.
And my son was taken from me, and I didn't see him for 40 years. The pain and hurt's been there for a long time. We can't keep doing this all the time. We're all getting older, and we need resolution.
Campaigners are urging Stormont to remove a clause they say excludes thousands of women, girls and their children from the bill.
A dedicated working group has been established to progress the rebuild of St Mary's Church in Derrybeg. The church was burnt to the ground when a blaze broke out in the early hours of Easter Monday. Mehel Wirra is working in close partnership with an insurance company and is currently seeking submissions from architects. To date, over €141,000 has been donated to a GoFundMe page set up in the aftermath of the fire. A public consultation will be held in the near future, something Gidor Parish Priest Father Brian O'Farrell says is very important.
We've set up a little working group, Mehel Wirra, I've called it, and just to engage with the insurance company and And we have been doing that since for the past number of weeks, and we're actively working just in close partnership with the insurance company and just progressing the project along. And the stage that we're at now at the moment is just at the weekend there. We've mailed correspondences to architects who have kind of a expertise in church buildings and similar buildings and so on, and asking them, if you're interested in this project, we're asking you to submit a proposal, and then we'll go through all of that, and we'll take it from there. But having said that, you know, even though we're at that stage with the architects and all that, and we're looking for suitably qualified architects, obviously, who have that expertise and experience and so on, the voice of the people is very important as well. And, you know, when we think of the church, the beautiful word that we have in Gaelic, in Irish, for church is Teach an Phobail, the house of the people, the people's home. So it's important to me and to Father Brendan here and to Father Shed, who helps us out as well. And it's important to us that we hear the voice of the community as well. And, you know, we assess their needs, of what are their thoughts and ideas on the needs going forward, and what would they like in their new church and so on.
Almost 20 post offices have closed in Donegal since 2015. According to new figures from An Post, over 250 post offices have shut across the country within the last 10 years. Of those to close in the past 10 years, 201 were located in rural areas. Of the 19 that closed in Donegal, 16 were located in rural areas and 3 in urban areas. The figures were released in response to a parliamentary question from Sinn Féin TD David Cullinan. President of the Irish Postmasters Union, Sean Martin, says the impact of these closures is far-reaching.
Hugely disappointing from our point of view. Unfortunately, lots of communities lose vital services when the post office is closed. But not only does the post office close, but invariably the local businesses around it close, because the post office creates the infrastructure and creates the footfall for the other businesses to survive. So yeah, it is disappointing.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Kerry manager Jack O'Connor says he will be without Dermot O'Connor and Tom O'Sullivan for their All-Ireland Senior Football semi-final showdown with Tyrone this weekend. O'Sullivan will miss the last four tie with a calf issue, while O'Connor remains sidelined with a shoulder injury suffered against Cavan. The Munster champions are hopeful that Tony Brosnan, Tadhg Morley and Mike Breen will be available, while Paul Geaney will look to prove his fitness and training this week. Cavan are searching for a new senior football manager after Raymond Galligan stepped down following 2 years at the helm. The former All-Star goalkeeper has said reasons behind his decisions was due to work commitments. Galligan led the Breffni County to top half finishes in Division 2 of the league in both the seasons in charge, and they enjoyed championship wins against Monaghan and Mayo. James Horan has ruled himself out of the running for another stint as Mayo senior football manager. He'd been linked with the position after the Westerners' decisions to part ways with Kevin McStay this summer. But Horan has told the Irish Examiner that he's informed Mayo County Board that he won't be putting his name forward, and he feels it's time for something different. And there will, of course, be lots of Gaelic Games talk tonight on the DL Debate with Brendan Devaney, which will be live from Sister Sarah's after the 7 o'clock news. And we will, of course, be looking ahead to the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-finals. Brendan guests on the show include Highland Radio pundit Brendan Kilcoyne, Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, and two All-Ireland winners from 92 and 2012, Anthony Molloy and Rory Kavanagh. Plus, we'll hear from Meath legend Graeme Geraghty as well. It's going to be a busy show tonight on the DL Debate. In tennis, Novak Djokovic is one set away from a place in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. The 38-year-old lost the first set to Alex de Munier, but he's rallied to take the next two sets on centre court. World tennis number one Yannick Sinner is insisting he's had no hangover from his French Open final defeat. On that day, on the clay in Paris, he lost out to Carlos Alcaraz. Ahead of facing Gregor Dimitrov later this evening, the Italian says that he's put Roland Garros in the past.
A new tournament, new Grand Slam, new surface. I'm not concerned about my level I can play. I'm not concerned that one loss can influence you for so long time. I believe that here is a new chance that I can do something good.
In golf, England's Lottie Wood won the KPMG Women's Irish Open on Sunday and was guided all weekend by an Inishowen man. Gary Foley, a member of Ballyliffin Golf Club, was Lottie's caddy for the weekend at Carlton House. Foley helped the amateur storm to victory by 6 shots, finishing on 21 under par. The result for Foley was even more remarkable, as this was the first time that the pair had worked together. Due to Wad's amateur status, her first place winnings of over €60,000 have been awarded to Sweden's Amandelina Sangskorm, who finished in second. On the rugby front, a shoulder injury has ended Jacob Stockdale's involvement on Ireland's summer tour. The English winger has returned to his province and will see a specialist to determine whether surgery is needed on the issue. Stockdale left last Saturday's win at Georgia in a sling after suffering suspected damage to his AC joint. Connacht's Cian Prendergast has recovered from illness and will be available for this weekend's match with Portugal in Lisbon. Finally, Lions head coach Andy Farrell insists players still have the chance to force their way into his test plans. He's made 14 changes for the match against the Brumbies on Wednesday, with some suggesting that he's picked near to his preferred side. Farrell says people can draw whatever conclusions they want.
I'll tell you guys what I said to the team this morning, that you know, there's always going to be speculation, but it's up to people to put the best foot forward for a test spot, isn't it, from now on in.
That's Andy Farrell, Lions head coach, and that's your sport for the moment, Michaela.
Thanks, Austin. And returning to some news, the leader of INTU says Donegal is one of the areas where a very strong constituency organisation is developing, and that bodes well for the future. Patrick O'Bean, who's in the county for a public meeting in Letterkenny tonight, says his aim is to substantially increase the party's representation at local and national level. He told the 9 till noon show earlier that the party's growth in Donegal is a very good reflection of what they're trying to achieve.
Starting up a new political party from scratch is virtually impossible in Ireland, given the way the system is built. And yet, in the last election, INTU had the highest increase of votes of any political party in the country. That's not to be sneezed at. We increased our representation in the Dáil. We got a first-time breakthrough in the Shannon. We've increased our number of councillors around the country. So I think we're sitting at a threshold now in which you'll see a bonus in terms of votes happening over the next while. There's about at least 4 constituencies where we just missed out in Dáil seats in the last election. We're in a good place. In terms of the party, we have 60 functioning common across the country, 2,000 members, all active in their local areas. And Donegal is a prime example of that. Really good local organisation campaigning on issues such as defective blocks, on issues such as the hospital, on issues such as the A5 road, and on the fact that the Dublin government treats Donegal like an island in many ways, in terms of investment, in terms of infrastructure. Having that on the ground organisation is really, really key.
A landmark hotel in Derry could be facing industrial action. SIPCHI announced today that it intends to bullet its members employed in the City Hotel due to what they say is the failure of the company to constructively engage with the union to discuss threatened redundancies that will leave the business significantly understaffed. SIPCHI organiser Niall McNally told Highland Radio News that they've been advised by the Labour Relations Agency that management has declined to engage in collective conciliation.
Initially, the premise for holding the redundancies was that Derry City Council and the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service had actually prohibited work in the hotel, and that had had a revenue impact. But it transpires that that wasn't actually the case. So the union is now calling for, look, we need to get into a room and discuss this, and we need to, you know, to have honest answers as to what is really driving the redundancy exercise that has been put in place.
The Teachers Union of Ireland says axing career breaks will send teaching shortages the wrong way. Department of Education figures show there are 1,800 vacancies across primary and secondary level schools. It's considering measures to ease the pressure, including extra teaching hours and fast-tracked contracts for new teachers. Currently, over 3,000 teachers are on career breaks, and DUI General Secretary Michael Gillespie says they cannot be stopped.
I'm listening to the career break argument for a long, long time. If we get rid of career breaks, all that'll happen is young teachers will resign. It makes the problem worse. Why are they resigning? Because they know there's plenty of jobs when they want to come back home. We're seeing it all the time. If school refuses a career break, they resign. That's what's happening.
64,000 pounds worth of drugs have been seized in Derry today. The seizure includes suspected Class A, B and C drugs. Police are appealing to anyone who has any information about suspected drugs activity to contact them on 101. A man who was driving a vehicle with a child passenger has been arrested on suspicion of a number of motoring offences in Derry. At around 20 past 10 last night, police were alerted to a vehicle in the Springtown area. After stopping the vehicle and speaking with the male driver, officers conducted a preliminary drug test. The man was subsequently arrested on suspicion of driving when unfit through drink or drugs, not having a driving licence, using a motor vehicle without insurance and driving a passenger car with an unrestrained child. He has since been released on bail to allow for additional inquiries and will return for further questioning on a future date. Meanwhile, police in Strabane are appealing for information following the theft of a van in the town in the early hours of this morning. It's reported a blue Mercedes Sprinter van was stolen from a driveway in the Derry Road area of the town at around 20 to 3 this morning. There have also been reports of other vehicles in the vicinity being tampered with. Police are urging anyone with information about the incident or who knows the location of the van to contact them on 101. They are also keen to hear from anyone who has offered a similar van for sale in suspicious circumstances or who may have witnessed any suspicious activity in the area. Weather now, it will be mostly dry and rather cloudy this evening with the chance of a few light showers developing, lowest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, the Department of Foreign Affairs has confirmed that it is providing consular assistance to the family of a man believed to be from Donegal killed in an accident in California. A spokesperson says the department does not comment on the details of individual cases. Natalie McLaughlin has been described as a loving, thoughtful and caring person and her six-year-old daughter Ella, the light of her family's lives. Both mother and daughter died following a crash in Cardona on Wednesday. They were laid to rest today following funeral mass at the Sacred Heart Church, Cardona. Just 12% of people diagnosed with cancer were treated within the 15 working day target at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's the poorest performing hospital in the country, according to the Journal. And almost 20 post offices have closed in Donegal since 2015. According to new figures from Unpost, over 250 post offices have shut across the country within the last 10 years. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 7th of July. The death has taken place of Anne Cairns, née Lochry, 239 Millmount Road, Victoria Bridge, formerly of Newton Stewart. Reposing at her son Martin's home at Greenhill House, 2 Carrigullen Road, Strabane. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, St. Mills at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Edward Russell, Glenraw, Glen, formerly of Brockus, Creasla. Viewing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny this evening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, followed by removal to Glenraw Glen. No wake, house strictly private, please, to family only. Private cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, on Wednesday afternoon at 4. Family only, and family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Joseph Logue, 9, Dunard, Kultoy, Letterkenny, formerly of Ballykerrigan, Clohan. Joseph's remains are reposing at his granny's home, Anna May Boner, in Ballykerrigan, Clohan. Requiem Mass at 12 noon tomorrow in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfim, with burial afterwards in Kilwira Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. Rosary tonight at 9 with family time from after the rosary and before the funeral tomorrow. A shuttle bus will be in operation from the Reland Bar car park during the wake. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.